Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Today, we get to go over everything. Okay, probably not everything, but as much as I could possibly take away from Packers Seahawks joint practices, including a couple of big brouhahas, some fracases, if you will. Players are feeling a little bit spicy and feisty throughout the course of the day. We'll get into that. Some good stuff, some not so great stuff. An injury worth monitoring, if nothing else. We'll get into all of that today. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Michael Kane, Two Tone, Crispy262, and Tank. Appreciate you guys signing up. Thank you so much for that. Now is a great time to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships. Lots of members-only content coming this season, including a weekly episode with Aaron Nagler and I. And of course, you get the weekly members Q&A as well. Hoping to get a couple other things solidified, including some more Ross Uglum content coming out as well. So make sure to check those out. Also, shout out to Luigi's Pizza. If you have not tried their Big Daddy pizzas yet, here's the different flavors you can get, or the different varieties you could get, I should say. The garlic dippers, which are unbelievable to die for, mega meaty, double sausage, double pepperoni, double sausage, double mushroom, and extra special. If you're feeling extra hungry or you've got a full family to feed, go with the Big Daddy pizzas. You will not be disappointed. And of course, check them out over at luigispizza.com and find them on social media at Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S-P-I-Z-Z-A. I do want to give you a little bit of the logistics of a joint practice so that you can understand what we saw, what I saw, and what I'm kind of going off of as we break down today's practice. So first and foremost, there are basically two practices going on at once. There is the Seahawks offense versus the Packers defense on one side, and the Packers offense versus the Seahawks defense on the other side. For the most part, not even that, you have to ultimately pick which one you want to watch. You cannot watch both. You could watch one for a little bit and then the other for another portion, but at some point you have to choose what you would like to see. Now at the end, you get into some of the 2-minute periods and things like that, and then everyone's on the same field practicing against each other. But just so you know, I decided to watch the offense and the defense was on the other side. And thankfully, some people like Matt Schneidman and Pete Doherty, you know, Bill Huber, Ryan Wood, they were all over practice. Some of them were covering offense, some of them were covering defense, but shout out to all of them because I had to kind of go and look at some of their practice updates and the reports as well to kind of get the opposite side of it. Because unfortunately, for me, there's only one of me and I can only see one side of practice. So shout out Matt Schneidman, Bill Huber, Pete Doherty, Ryan Wood, who did a tremendous job covering practice and helped me certainly with some of the other stuff that I did not see at practice. The other piece of this that I want to mention, and I need to take something just aside really quick and let you know, I am very blessed to get to do what I do. The Packers are very kind and friendly to the media. They feed us during games and everything like that. We get access to the players in the locker room. We get access to everything. I'm not complaining overall in any way, shape, or form. Like I said, very, very lucky. Nobody's feeling sorry for me. I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. Not saying that whatsoever, or anyone on the media. I personally, just for me, I'm very lucky to get to do what I do and lucky that I get to be there. That being said, that piece aside, now that we've established that, on days like the joint practice, it's really difficult to see everything that's going on. Not everything that's going on. A lot of times, anything that's going on, because you have two layers of stuff between you and the actual action that's taking place. You meaning anyone that's with the media, myself, etc. You have in the middle, you have practice itself. And then through a lot of practice, you have a whole line of players, either the Seahawks players or the Packers players, not through the entirety of it, but in some key moments like the 2-minute drills and things like that, a whole line of players. And in the practices that are open to the fans, you have a huge amount of marketing, sponsored people that are coming in. And if you stay at Lodge Kohler, you get to come in and you get to go along the same sidelines, which fine, whatever. It's not a huge deal, right? But on a day like today, there's probably excess of 300-ish fans somewhere along that, along the sidelines. So you have a row of fans that you are trying to see through and a row of players that you're trying to see through and trying to cover the team through all of that and see everything that's happening, especially obviously for somebody like me who's trying to take every single play in and try to get you guys as much as I possibly can. It makes it exceedingly hard. Not to mention there is on the other side of the field a barrier where you're not able to go across a certain threshold because they have family members down, like media and family members. When I say media, like it's like special media. Like I think Kay Adams was doing some stuff today, and some other like NFL Network will do stuff down there. And then they've got friends and family and a whole separate section for friends and family of the actual Packers themselves. None of these things, by the way, are bad things. That it all makes sense. But you today could not even get to see some of like the defensive stuff, or made it excessively hard to see because that area was all blocked off and you could only see so far. And again, have a sea of humanity in your way. So again, not really complaining, even if I'm kind of complaining, but it just wanted to let you know a lot of this stuff was actually really difficult to see. The best seat in the house is actually the fans on the opposite side who are upper, on the upper portion of the stands. I was talking to a couple people like, I think next year I'm just going to go out and stay on the opposite side. But enough about that. I just wanted to let you know that there are certain reasons why things were very difficult to see. And it was tough to glean even in some of the 2-minute drills and stuff like that, what was actually going on from time to time, because there's just like layers of stuff in between that you're trying to see through and pick apart and piece together actually what happened at practice. All right. That being said, when we get into the practice, I want that to be just in the background of like what we could and couldn't see. But before we get there, we do have the updated injury report. On the very good news side of things, Xavier McKinney was out there doing individual drills. So prior, he had been with a trainer doing some kind of safety-ish movements, but not exactly drills. Today, he was out there actually doing the individual portion of practice, which is a huge sign for him. He did not do any teamwork. And then there was the Savion Williams saga. Usually when you get out there and you see a player out with the team, helmet on, pads on, everything, he's returned to practice. I get out there and we're about to get ready for one-on-ones, and out there with all the wide receivers is Savion Williams, helmet on, pads on. I'm like, oh my, the Savion Williams is back. And then I see like Wes Hodd was like, Savion Williams, not back. I'm like, did I just make up Savion Williams being out there? And I'm looking all across the field. I cannot see Savion Williams anywhere. I do not see him. And then probably like 30 minutes go by and I see him and he's just in shorts, no pads or anything. I did confirm, however, I was not seeing things. Rob Domofsky did see him as well. Same thing. And there were multiple other people who saw him as well. He did get out there, helmet on and in some pads and stuff like that, but did not do any individual drills, did not do any team drills. My guess is he warmed up with the team, went in and worked with a trainer, got his work in, came back out, took all the pads off and everything like that. And that was his day. So he did seem to be doing a little bit more, at least was dressed for a portion of practice, but did not do any individual or teamwork. I would still consider him as a non-participant for the day. Jared Bartlett was a new injury, the linebacker, which by the way, likely means that we are going to get a ton. If he can't play, assuming Bartlett can't play in the game, which it kind of seemed that way. If that is in fact the case, we are going to get a ton of Isaiah Simmons, Tyron Hopper, Jamon Johnson, and Christian Welch in this game. You're not going to get a lot of Quay Walker, if any. You're not going to get a lot of Edgerrin Cooper, if any. That you probably get a little bit of those too. But after that, it is going to be a massive helping. Maybe get a little bit McDuffie, right? But a massive helping of Simmons, Hopper, Jamon Johnson, and Christian Welch. Also, Elgton Jenkins did not finish practice. Now, he had been involved in some of the skirmishes. I don't know if it was disciplinary or if it was an injury situation. Zach Tom also did not finish practice, and we know that one was disciplinary for throwing punches. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We do not know if Elgton, at least I have not seen anywhere it confirmed that Elgton is either injury related or if it was suspension related. Hopefully it was just not, I should say suspension, but like that he got kind of, taken out of practice for all the involvement in the fracas or whatever. I don't know. Hopefully it was just that and that there's not an injury. If you do get to the point where Elton is, you know, actually injured and Aaron Banks is injured, man, you get so insanely thin across the offensive line really fast. All of a sudden, you're potentially, and you know, Zach Tom was out at the end too, but you're potentially looking at Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, what, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, Zach Tom, and you have no depth after that. By the way, Jacob Monk also still not practicing. So your offensive line, if Jenkins is hurt and Banks remains hurt and Monk remains hurt, is insanely, insanely thin. So hopefully there's nothing with Jenkins. Hopefully Jacob Monk and Aaron Banks are ready to get back sooner rather than later. But if there is actually an injury with Jenkins, even if it's just in the short term, right, you're starting to get extremely thin on the offensive line. So that is one that we're definitely going to want to keep an eye on. Players who did not practice: Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Nate Hobbs, Marshawn Lloyd, Zane Anderson, Omar Brown, Jacob Monk, Aaron Banks, Savion Williams, Baron Sorrell, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, and John Williams. Did not get to see the starters on defense because, again, they were down on the other side, but your starters on offense for the day were Malik Willis, Josh Jacobs, and Chris Brooks, Tucker Kraft, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom. As far as player of the day goes, I'm going to give it to two different players. I'm going to give it to Luke Musgrave and Malik Willis. Ryan Wood charted Luke Musgrave on the day with about 5 catches for 100 yards. He was all over the place. And it just felt like every single one of those was actually about a 20-yard reception. Just big play after big play after big play. In 7-on-7s, he had a touchdown. He had a big-time catch over Reek Woolen on a sideline throw. That was just out of the outstretched fingertips of Woolen, and Musgrave went up and got that one. Just there were multiple ad-lib plays throughout the course of the day that Luke Musgrave made. It was just a really, really impressive performance from Musgrave overall. And the same goes for Malik Willis. Malik Willis did miss one throw in some of the team activities later where he could have hit Malik Heath on a big gain down the field. Outside of that, it was a day for Malik Willis that I think caught a lot of people's attention. The interesting thing was it wasn't a ton of plays within the rhythm of the offense. It was a lot of ad-lib plays, but Malik Willis just going out there and kind of making some magic happen. There was one play where he rolls all the way to his left. Like, he's rolling across his body. He does a jump throw. And we're not talking here a jump throw on like a, you know, a pass like near the line of scrimmage. He does a jump throw completely diagonal to the other side of the field, showing off his ridiculous arm. Like, it's something that is clearly, I will say, ill-advised to do. He's rolling to his left, jump throws all the way across his body, all the way across the opposite side of the field. A ultimate, like, you never do that. And I think that one was Tucker Kraft, goes up and makes the big catch and comes down with a play. And then later on, he rolls right and he finds Luke Musgrave on that play down the field. There's another play where he buys time, rolls right, and then throws across his body, kind of through the middle of the field again, and whips it past the defender and has like kind of Luke Musgrave go back behind his body to get it. Musgrave comes up with that catch. It was just play after play. There was I think it was an out and up by Romeo Doubs, if I remember correctly. And Malik Willis hits him down the left sideline in stride for a big gain. There was just a ton of plays from Willis where he either threw down the field successfully or made magic happen or just bought enough time for somebody to, you know, become open. I was really impressed with the fact that this was a Seahawks defense, by the way, that was flying around, batting down balls. We're going to get to the 7-on-7 and some of the red zone stuff here in just a moment, but they were very impressive with their ability to get their hands on the football, not intercept. I don't think they intercepted any, but batting down passes all throughout the day. And Willis just consistently made things happen where Love had some struggles in the 7-on-7s and Clifford and Algersma couldn't get much going. Malik Willis could. I thought he had a fantastic day overall. So the two players of the day, Luke Musgrave and Malik Willis. The play of the day was one of the final plays of the day. It was the 2-minute drill for the Seahawks' number one offense. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba was tearing the Packers apart all day long, according to the people who are covering the team down on the defensive side of the ball. Multiple touchdowns for JSN, including some big third down plays, some big just plays over the middle, just constantly tearing the Packers apart on the other side of the field. on the 2-minute drive, Seattle gets themselves a little bit behind the sticks. I think it was like a 2nd and 20 or something like that. Darnold decides to take his shot down the field for JSN. Corner probably a little bit beat on the play. Evan Williams was not. Evan Williams ranged over from center field, played it perfectly, timed it perfectly, took the perfect angle, and had that beautiful catch over the shoulder to intercept Sam Darnold and end that 2-minute drive with a win for Green Bay. That was a sweet play. That's just a classic center field safety move by Evan Williams. He played it perfectly, came down with the big interception, and made sure that Jaxon Smith-Njigba could not hurt them on that particular play. So players of the day, Luke Musgrave and Malik Willis. Play of the day was certainly Evan Williams. I should note, by the way, on that play by Evan Williams, Warren Brinson had a big time pass rush on the interior of that Seahawks offensive line, got right in Sam Darnold's face, caused a bad throw, and Evan Williams was able to pick it off for that reason. Brinson, as you guys know, I'm a big fan. He is somebody that has a little bit of juice as a pass rusher. He's a pretty solid run defender. He's got work to do, 6th-round pick. He's making this team for sure. He's a really talented dude. I loved his tape coming out of college. I've said it numerous times. He would have went rounds earlier, either the 4th or 5th round for sure, if he was in a normal defensive tackle draft. It was just a really, really deep defensive tackle draft, and Green Bay got a steal on him in the 6th round. He had a very, very impressive rush on that particular play, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come, because if he can do that moving forward, he is going to be a big-time steal as a 6th-round draft pick. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. I had an absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Of course, one of the huge stories of the day were the fights that broke out. The first one, it seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. There's a video out there though, and Zach Tom kind of explained it after the fact, where Green Bay was huddling up and some of the Seahawks players were like in Green Bay's huddle and just kind of talking smack and getting in their faces. And then some stuff broke out and Zach Tom took umbrage with it and started going, you know, just throwing punches at the Seahawks, and that caused a huge fracas to break out. I think Messiah Swinson ended up on the ground at one point, and it was just a wild, wild scene. And it was a pretty big fight overall. And it did not end relatively quick. It took some time to get things sorted out. And after that fight was done, they took those two offense and defense and got them off the field, brought in a different offense and defense, the number twos or threes. And they ran a couple plays. Things were going well. And then another fight breaks out. And this thing goes against the fences and more punches are being thrown. Anthony Belton's getting in a puncher stance. It was not pretty overall. I will say this. There was probably about 45 minutes, hour left of practice at that point. I talked to Rob Domofsky and I said, what's the over-under on how many fights there's going to still be? He said it at 1.5, which I agreed with. I thought was the right number. We both thought for sure there'd be one. The question would be, would there be two? I think if it got to two more, I think they would have just ended practice. It was getting that out of control. But to their credit, there was not. There was some words and some exchanges after practice that probably escalated a little bit, but not to the level of actually like a fight breaking out or anything. But I will say, thankfully, after those first two fights, I mean, you never want to see any fights, but after those first two, it did settle down. We didn't have any fights for the remainder of practice. And Zach Tom, it is again noteworthy that he did get kicked out of practice for throwing those punches. He didn't have to go inside the Hudson or anything, but he did not get to go back in and do any team activities. So I know Matt not happy about that, I am sure, but just kind of one of those things, unfortunately, that sometimes happens at joint practices, happened on a couple different occasions on Thursday. All right, as we get to some of the plays and players that stood out, let's start with one-on-ones. Matthew Golden beat Damarian Williams down the field, big time touchdown play, smoked him off the line of scrimmage, gets open deep, beautiful throw, and Golden comes up with a touchdown there. Shepard beat Shaq Griffin on a really impressive play. Mecole Hardman, he's a one-on-one savant. I wish he could run routes that effectively in team activities, but one-on-ones, he's got some moves. Now, the Packers corners have seen him enough. They know kind of his go-to moves where they know how to stop him. But if you're not used to it, he completely schooled Indianapolis last week and now schooled Seattle on it again this week. He's got a couple of really fun routes that he can run that are, he just has defenders completely spinning around when he does it. Cornelius Johnson had a beautiful double move, beat Josh Jobe, who was a starter for them last year, for a touchdown down the field. And then Ben Sims beat Ty Okada for a touchdown deep down the field as well. So some pretty impressive reps there in one-on-one. The Seahawks definitely had their share of pass breakups and plays that they made as well. I don't think any interceptions. Then we got to red zone one-on-ones. Malik Heath got open for a touchdown. Tucker Kraft slipped on a play and Julian Love intercepted a play for Seattle. Romeo Doubs had a very clean win against Devon Witherspoon, their former first-round pick. Matthew Golden caught a touchdown on an out route, and Mecole Hardman beat Kobe Bryant for a touchdown on his route. I would say overall, the beginning of practice, we talked about Luke Musgrave. Luke Musgrave was on fire throughout the day. Tucker Kraft was tearing up Seattle all throughout the beginning part of practice. I would say it was either nondescript to begin with, and then I thought Green Bay kind of settled in and had some really impressive plays, especially to the tight ends and especially from Malik Willis. And then you got to this middle period where it just felt nothing could go right. You had the two big fights. You also had the Jordan Love 7-on-7, and the Jordan Love 7-on-7 was not pretty. Jordan completed a check down to Josh Jacobs on the first play. Then he had a couple incompletions in a row, including a corner out to Luke Musgrave that went harmlessly out of bounds. Then you had a pass breakup by Seattle on an attempt to Matthew Golden in the red zone. Finally, a touchdown to Tucker Kraft. Then Isaiah Nair was actually getting a rep with the ones. He smoked a corner off the line of scrimmage, gets open, and unfortunately on that particular play, Jordan Love well overthrew him and Nair had no play on the ball whatsoever. Then you had a pass breakup over the middle by Seattle. Luke Musgrave for a touchdown on a crossing pattern. Then Jordan Love tried to fit one into Malik Heath, probably a little bit of a force. That one falls harmlessly incomplete. Love tossed one up to Golden in the back corner after trying to just understanding that he had to get rid of the ball at some point. Finally, lofts one up to Golden. Golden tried to go up and make a crazy one-handed catch, just couldn't come down with it. Then Seattle broke up a pass for Doubs in the end zone. Then Love was trying to find Sims in the end zone, and there was another pass breakup by Seattle defense. At the end of the day, Love was 3-for-12 in those 7-on-7 red zone drills. And it was not all his fault. The one to Nair was definitely the one that was his fault. I didn't think receivers did a great job of getting open. I thought Seattle did a really great job of playing aggressive and batting some of those balls away. But it was a very difficult period for Jordan Love and the number one offense. And then right after that, you had Malik Willis take back over in 11 on 11s. Tucker Kraft gets a tight end screen who has just been dominating on the day. And he gets the ball punched out. It's a fumble and Seattle recovers. Then Willis tries to hit Josh Jacobs on an out route. Perfect ball. Josh Jacobs drops it. And then a fade from Willis to Dobbs in the corner, the front corner of the end zone. And definitely should have been a ball that Romeo comes up with. And I don't know if he misjudged it or what the heck happened, but he couldn't come down with the catch. And I would rule that as a drop or at least a missed opportunity. And you just had all of these plays that were going against Green Bay, followed up by Brandon McManus, of all people, missing a couple field goals. So that was the our pets' heads are falling off portion of Packers practice, where things started good, offensively at least, and then the 7-on-7 went very poor. You had a couple plays after that that did not go well. And then you had all the fracases and the fights and Brandon McManus kicking or missing field goals. It just felt like in that middle period of practice, nothing, and I mean nothing, was going Green Bay's way. I did think they, again, began strong, that they finished strong. There was some really good stuff there, but that middle period was very difficult to watch for the offense. Some noteworthy players. Ryan Wood had Tucker Kraft at 8 catches for 125 yards. He was tearing Seattle apart. He would have been my player of the day had it not been for that big fumble, but he was everywhere all the time, making blocks and getting open consistently as a receiver as well. Big time day for Tucker Kraft. Isaiah Nair, keep an eye on him. He had the play with the ones, one-on-one in the corner of the end zone where he completely nuked the corner. And unfortunately, Love just overthrew that one. That was the one we talked about just a couple minutes ago. And then in a drill later, Nair completely wins off the line of scrimmage, gets open deep down the field. And unfortunately, on that one, Sean Clifford misses him. So there are a couple plays where Isaiah Nair could have had his name called in a pretty significant way based on what he did on the play. But the quarterbacks, unfortunately, just could not get him the ball. But he is showing he has that ability as a wide receiver. I would keep a very close eye on him as a practice squad candidate. Thought Taylor Algersma and Sean Clifford had okay days, not great. The big thing, especially with Algersma, he has to speed up that clock in the pocket. He just stands there too long. He's having trouble diagnosing it. Is what it seems like, and just cannot pull the trigger and ends up getting sacked. There was one play where you would have been sacked 3-4 times before he finally got rid of the ball and threw incomplete. So just has to get a little bit more of that rhythm and timing down. I think either were great. I didn't think either were terrible, but both have work to do certainly as they try to wrap up that number three quarterback spot. Brandon McManus, as I mentioned, missed 2 field goals, but he did go 3-for-5 on the day. And then he also had a big field goal in the 2-minute drill to ultimately win the offense when Sean Clifford was at quarterback, win that particular 2-minute drill based on McManus kicking that field goal. As mentioned, Jaxon Smith-Njigba had a huge day. This is what you have some concern over when you get to the season. Do you have the corner? We know the corners are good. We know that they can play some really good sound zone defense and things like that, but can you stay and stick with some of the best of the best wide receivers? And today it was tough, but I will note, you're not game planning for Jaxon Smith-Njigba like you would in a regular season game. And no Xavier McKinney, no Nate Hobbs, which certainly plays a factor there as well. Kamal Haddon had 2 big pass breakups on the day. Per multiple reports, he had a very impressive day on defense. And then Kingsley Nagbari continues his incredibly strong training camp with 2 sacks, a pass batted down, and a tackle for loss. Some big plays. That Malik Willis jump pass all the way across his body was phenomenal. Willis to Dobbs deep down the sideline we talked about, and then Colby Wooden had a big sack as well. So just a couple other noteworthy plays, and then some miscellaneous news and notes. Keyshawn Nixon and Mecole Hardman were both on the kick return and punt return teams as the returners, and both of them seem to be kind of the leader in the clubhouse right now for the kick return and punt return jobs. If Hardman doesn't make it, just almost seems like Nixon is going to be the guy. And that's an interesting aspect if he's going to be your corner when you don't have a ton of depth at corner. Something to keep an eye on there. Simmons and Melton were the 2 main gunners still, so noteworthy there. You had 3 straight runs by the Seahawks offense at one point that went for good gains. However, on that same team period, Seattle did have 4 penalties during that time frame as well. That is everything I got from Packers joint practice. What I would say is, there was some really good stuff out there that I saw. There was still a lot of stuff that needs to get cleaned up. Just a little bit of the attention to detail stuff that Matt talked about at the beginning of training camp. I'm sure that there are moments that he's seen it, but I would like to see personally a little bit more of it where that attention to detail is on point. anyone that's out there knows the plays, knows the playbook, and also can go out and execute it at a higher level without making some of those silly mistakes. It's the silly mistakes that are really starting to catch up with Green Bay. We saw that at times throughout the joint practice with Seattle as well. Again, shout out to Luke Musgrave and to Malik Willis for being the players of the day. Thank you so much for being here and joining me today. We do have happy hour, 3 p.m. Central Time on Friday, a live post-game show immediately following Packers Seahawks, and then a members Q&A set for, as of right now, Sunday night, I believe 7 p.m. Central Time there. So happy hour, post-game show, members Q&A, all coming up over the course of the next few days. Thanks again for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack, Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.